Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
On 10-10-10, October 10th of 2010, someone came into my daughter's apartment between the hours of 3 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. and took her out while my two grandsons and a great niece of mine that were in the apartment with her at the time were asleep. Now, Unique has not been seen or heard from since, and it's been going on now 8 years. Battle and fight trying to find her.
On the evening of October 9th, 2010, 24-year-old Unique Harris was at her apartment in Washington, D.C. with her two young sons and 9-year-old cousin. They were having a movie night and sleepover together. She spoke to her grandfather on the phone that evening, and he could hear the kids in the background and also popcorn popping. Later that evening, Unique would put the kids to bed for the night. Sometime after that, Unique vanished. The children awoke the next morning to find that she was gone, along with her keys and cell phone. 7 years have now gone by, and no trace of Unique has ever been found. Unique's mom, Valencia, has never stopped looking, and she pursues every possible avenue to try to keep Unique's story out there, with the hope that someone will come forward with answers. I'm Marissa, and this is episode 116 of The Vanished, Unique Harris's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Unique was the oldest of three siblings. She has a younger brother and sister who looked up to her and adored her. Unique was cherished by everyone in her family because she was known to be so sweet and thoughtful. Their family was very close, which makes the mystery of her disappearance even more baffling. There were no warning signs or obvious suspects. Unique and her family had lived in the Richmond, Virginia area for many years. This is where Unique went to school and would later graduate from John Marshall High. Unique was the oldest of three siblings. She has a younger brother and sister. Unique's mom, Valencia, would eventually move to Washington, D.C., and after Unique separated from her son's father, she too moved to D.C. She initially moved in with her mom for a couple of months, and 5 weeks before her disappearance, she got her own apartment. Unique was making plans for her future and had decided to return to school. Valencia told me more about Unique's plans.
She had just recently been accepted in Centura College for massage therapy. And as a matter of fact, about a week or two after she was taken, they had contacted me to inform her, actually, that she had been accepted into their program. And she had just recently moved back into the area from Richmond, Virginia.
Valencia and Unique were very close and spoke to one another daily. On October 8th, Unique had gone to Valencia's home. Her grandfather Richard happened to be visiting, and she was close to him as well. They spent some time together while her grandfather cut Unique's son's hair. Unique didn't have a car, and Valencia was unable to drive due to a broken foot, so Richard drove Unique and her boys home. Unique promised to call the following day, which she did. This was when Richard could hear the kids in the background having their movie night with popcorn. At the end of the call, Unique again promised to call the following day, and then the kids said goodnight to Richard. The call that Unique promised to make would never come. On the evening of the 9th, Unique put her sons and her 9-year-old cousin to bed after they finished watching movies. They are the last known people to see Unique.
October 10th of 2010, someone came into my daughter's apartment between the hours of 3 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. and took her out while my two grandsons and a great niece of mine that were in the apartment with her at the time were asleep. Now, Unique has not been seen or heard from since, and it's been going on now 8-year battle and fight trying to find her.
Valencia explained to me why it's believed that Unique was taken after 3 a.m.
Her last phone call on her cell phone that we could track through her phone records was around the 3 a.m. hour. It was actually a phone call that, you know, she connected and conversed with the other person on the other end.
One important thing to note about this phone call is that the police have not released the identity of this caller. All we can confirm is that this person has been interviewed by the police. The children were the first to discover that Unique was missing when they woke up on the morning of the 10th.
Somewhere between 8:30 and 9 a.m. and looked around the apartment and couldn't find Unique anywhere. And the last that they had seen of Unique was the night prior of October the 9th, 2010. When she had put them down for bed, and when they woke up, she was just gone.
As you can imagine, the kids were scared when they woke up to find that Unique was missing. Unique wasn't a person who would leave children unattended in an apartment. Unique's boys were just 3 and 5 years old at the time, but since her cousin was several years older, she decided to call her mom.
In the very beginning, once I first got the phone call from my great niece's mom, which, let me add this in, was not until that afternoon of October the 10th, 2010, around, I want to say about 2:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon. We have to keep in mind, Unique has been missing for hours now, and I didn't even know, at least going into 8, 10, 12 hours, and I didn't even have any idea that my child was gone. It started for her, my great-niece's mom, earlier that morning when the children woke up, because my great-niece actually called her mom and told her that Unique was not in the apartment. However, my great-niece's mom explained to me that she didn't want to alarm me unnecessarily and that she figured, you know, maybe Unique had just gone out for, you know, I guess like maybe last minute miscellaneous fixings for the children's breakfast or, you know, something of that nature. But as the hours passed and it grew time for her to have contact with Unique for her to be able to pick my great niece up, that's when it started kicking in for her that, first of all, what is she going to do about her daughter and separating her daughter from my grandsons? And she couldn't just leave my grandsons in the apartment by themselves. You understand what I'm saying? So at that point, about 2:30, 3:30 in the afternoon is when she contacted me and let me know that Unique had been unaccounted for from the time the children woke up that morning. And it's just been ever since that point a nightmare, to say the least.
Once they found out that Unique had been missing for hours, her grandfather went right over to the apartment to get the boys and bring them over to Valencia's home. He later returned to the apartment to get some clothes for the kids, and that's when he began to notice some odd things. When someone goes missing, everyone tries to rack their brain for a rational explanation. Even though leaving the kids in the apartment was not something that Unique was ever known to do, everyone was hoping that she'd just run to the store and would be back. When her grandfather discovered her purse in the apartment, his concern grew. Then he looked in her bedroom and saw that she'd left her glasses behind. The family has always believed that the glasses are a very important detail because Unique wore them everywhere.
That was actually a key factor and element for me that initially alerted me that, you know, this was some type of situation that Unique, however it went down, had no control over her even being removed from that apartment, because she has a pair of glasses that she's very reliant on, that she needs to see clearly 5 to 10 feet in front of her. So by her apartment being on the top floor of her building and there being at least about 5 or 6 flights of at least 5 to 7 stairs, there's no way she could have navigated her way out of that building on her own without her glasses, which, by the way, were folded up on her pillow, which was her habit with her glasses.
Unique was known to put her glasses on a pillow next to her in bed before going to sleep. Does this suggest that she had gone to bed that night?
Well, it's Unique, you know, it was a habitual thing for her that her and I had even had conversations about, because I was like, well, Unique, that seems kind of dangerous for you to have them, you know, right there on your pillow beside your head like that. You can roll over on and break them, or, you know, you cut your own self, you know, on the frames or something like that. But she made it clear to me as her mom that it was just easier for her to have access to her glasses as soon as she woke up in the morning, which that part made sense to me as well. So this is a habit that my daughter had that we had discussed. And not only that, Unique was a fairly, you know, predominantly all her life wear of glasses for her vision to be clear enough for her to be able to, you know, navigate her way through things. So there's no way in the world my child would have left her apartment. I mean, those particular glasses that were on her pillow, I still have those glasses. And this is a pair of glasses that I want to say maybe up to a month prior, Unique had just gotten those glasses. And she was so ecstatic about these glasses because she had just purchased a pair of glasses that, you know, she had saved her money, et cetera, for to get for herself. Now, that's a person that's, this is not like just a everyday, you know, pair of sunglasses that people don't, you know, take. I mean, I lose my sunglasses all the time, so that's because I'm not reliant on them. But these were actual prescription glasses.
There were no obvious signs of forced entry or a struggle inside Unique's apartment. But Valencia worries that the building wasn't secure and that it may have been easy for someone to pick the lock.
I haven't been satisfied that there was no sign of forced entry or that there was no sign of a struggle, because of the fact that the door to Unique's apartment, first of all, the apartment building door should have had a intercom security system, which was inoperable at the time. And as well, Unique's actual door to her actual apartment was in a very battered state before she even moved in that apartment, which was one of the things that was supposed to have been corrected that had not been corrected. It was not a very secure door. It appeared to me that, you know, it had been pretty battered in some type of incident or incidents prior to Unique moving into that particular apartment.
When Unique had decided to move to this apartment complex just weeks before her disappearance, her mom was not happy about the idea. Her family didn't feel like it was a good place for them to move to because of the high crime rate in the area. Seeing the condition of the door that Valencia just mentioned didn't make her feel any better.
And that was one of the, you know, primary risk factors that definitely didn't make me feel any better about her decision to move over there in that apartment complex, which even before we knew exactly which one she would be moving in, I was very concerned with the area that her and my grandsons were moving into.
¶¶
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. If you go online and look up Unique's case, you'll find information about a murder that she witnessed shortly before her disappearance. She had called her mom upset about what she'd just seen, and Valencia told her to get away from the window because she didn't want a killer to know that Unique had been watching. This has often been tossed around as a possible theory for what happened to Unique. Did this person come back to get rid of a potential witness?
That crime was actually solved and resolved and proven to be by the D.C. Police Department not connected to Unique abduction in any way. This was a situation where that homicide occurred just prior to her abduction, but there has never been anything linked to those. And as I said, that homicide has been resolved since then.
Often on the show, you hear that the missing person had voiced concern about their own safety prior to their disappearance. But this wasn't the case for Unique.
At least not to me, and, you know, neither her siblings as well, because Unique has two siblings, a younger sister and brother. So none of us had any indicators that, you know, she was fearful of anything or anybody at that time, as far as something, you know, that could possibly turn out to be a mortal situation. And we are a close enough family where we would have known. There's not been, you know, other times way prior to Unique's abduction where we've had conversations about certain things going on in not just Unique's life, but in my and my other children's lives as well. So there were no indicators at all to any of us that she was in any duress or anything like that.
We know that when someone goes missing, those close to them always need to be looked at. It's much more likely that you'll become the victim of someone you know instead of a stranger. Leading up to Unique's disappearance, she and the father of her sons were involved in a custody dispute.
She had full primary custody of her children, but there was a child support order court date that she had to attend in Richmond, Virginia on October, I believe it was the 25th. Of 2010, which was 2 weeks and approximately one day after she was taken.
Unique had also been seeing someone at the time, but he was in another state attending a Job Corps program. Both men have been questioned, and detectives have stated that they've been able to rule them out.
Well, they said that they passed or had taken polygraphs. And from my understanding, apparently there was no information from them in the polygraphs that would lead them to believe that they had anything to do with Unique's disappearance.
There are two things that we know went missing along with Unique, and those are her keys and her cell phone. In the beginning, her family kept calling her phone, hoping to get an answer.
Initially, it would ring, you know, we were leaving, me and Unique's younger sister were leaving, you know, very, very frantic messages on her voicemail to try to get her to contact us in an urgent situation and express urgency to her. You know, I even, in one of the voicemails, stated to Unique, you know, I'm getting scared. I'm ready to call the police. You have to call me back. You have to call me back now, immediately, so forth and so on. And, you know, I have yet to receive a return call to this day.
The D.C. Police Department did obtain Unique's cell phone records.
Well, what I got from the police is that her phone, as far as the numbers of the people that she was having telephone conversations with, those records have been retrieved. And they were retrieved back after her abduction.
Even though they have her cell phone records, the detectives still have not shared all of the information that they've been able to gather, including the identity of the person who spoke to Unique around 3 a.m. I asked Valencia if they have ever shared any ping information that could help point to a direction that Unique and her phone may have gone that night.
Oh, no, I've never heard that, you know, specific terminology, no. No, because that was one of my main concerns at the onset of this whole thing, which I was stressing to the D.C. Police Department at the time. Her phone is gone with her. If you can find her phone, you can find her. But certain, I guess, legal technicalities or what have you, there was a certain protocol that was necessary to be followed by the detective on Unique's case at the time, which took a while, or let me just say too long for me, for those records to be attained. And it also had element of, you know, the phone company that she was with at the time was not very forthcoming with the information that was necessary to the police department, from what I was told of the detective that was working on Unique's case at the time early on.
You may be wondering what, if anything, the kids may have heard that night. You'll see in some news articles that it's often mentioned that Unique's cousin thought she heard a man's voice, but that it could have been a television that she heard. Unfortunately, the children haven't been able to provide any information that would lead to identifying a suspect.
No, we haven't gotten any information. As far as we know, they went to sleep that night before. Unique was there in the apartment watching television. The next morning they woke up, she was nowhere to be found. But, well, luckily, you know, my great niece was a little older. As a matter of fact, that was her birthday weekend that she was celebrating with my great niece as well. So she was approaching the age of 9 at the time. So she was a little bit more able to describe to her mother what was actually going on throughout the day, whether or not Unique had returned to the apartment.
When I think about possible scenarios for what may have happened to Unique, I can see how someone could have taken her and she went along quietly out of fear that this person would harm the children, or that the person could have threatened to harm the children in order to keep Unique quiet. Valencia has often thought about how this situation could have been even worse.
I could be a woman out here in search of 4 family members because my great niece was there. Thank God, you know, her mother has never exercised or exhibited any behavior where she feels like, you know, Unique is responsible, because my great niece was never. She's been nothing but loving and supportive. And, you know, her and Unique had a very close relationship even prior to this. Her and Unique went to school together. So they had a very good connection.
The D.C. Police Department did do a forensic search of Unique's apartment, hoping to find some clues.
There was fingerprinted and luminol, actually, as well. I'm pretty sure you probably already know they have to go back into the apartment after dark and spray the apartment down with the chemical called luminol. That was done earlier on, maybe, I guess, probably a few days to a week after she was taken, because as I said, you know, these things take time. Some things you have to get subpoenas for. Those may take, you know, weeks to get for certain information and to gather certain evidence and polygraph tests, all sorts of things.
If they found any useful evidence in the apartment, they haven't shared that information.
Well, as far as I know at this point, okay, because I'm sure you probably also already know that all the information and evidence that the D.C. Police Department has, I don't know all the evidence. All I can actively tell you is that I'm making sure that Unique's case is being consistently worked on. And it's been this way from the very, very first phone call that I made to MPD that afternoon of 10-10-10.
As I mentioned earlier, the neighborhood that Unique was living in has a high crime rate, and some of the people who live there may be hesitant to come forward with information because of their own involvement in criminal activity, or possibly a fear of retaliation. Unique's family was aware of this from the start and immediately began canvassing the neighborhood on their own.
In the beginning, me and my family, we instantly went into a try to get the word out, especially in her neighborhood, that, you know, she was unaccounted for, which we did through Unique's younger sister making up flyers that we had distributed in her Unique's neighborhood that she was living when she was taken in that area of her apartment. Matter of fact, that entire apartment complex, we pretty much flooded with our own personal flyers prior to D.C. Police Department issuing their flyers and circulating their flyers.
While I was thinking about Unique's case, I thought it was odd that no one saw or heard a thing that night. I've lived in apartment complexes before, and there are always different people coming and going, and you always have that nosy neighbor. I haven't been to Unique's old apartment complex myself, so I asked Valencia if she thought that was strange too.
In my opinion, Des, that goes beyond odd and bizarre. That's impossible. My daughter's building, to access this building, was one way in and one way out. Unique's apartment building was at the corner of a very busy intersection and community. There was a camera on a building in another property that was directly on the front door of Unique's building. Unfortunately, from the information that I got, that camera was inoperable. But we are still talking about a community that has a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week scenario where, you know, if it's no more than just people hanging out on their front. You understand what I'm saying? All types of transactions and things being made on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week cycle. So in my mind, there's no way that somebody could have gotten my daughter out of that building without being noticed. Just like the Pamela Butler story of the District of Columbia, this woman had cameras all over her house from every window and entrance of her house except for one window, which was camouflaged by a huge tree, which is what had her now confessed murderer saying now that that's how he took her out of there. See, these criminals are crafty. They're very crafty. But, you know, in the middle of, you know, a neighborhood such as my daughter's, you're not going to tell me nobody. I don't care if it was 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 4. I don't care.
You're not going to tell me that somebody could have got my daughter out of that building without nobody seeing or knowing anything about it. It's impossible to me. We're not talking about a rural area with a house or apartment building that was totally camouflaged or something like that. We're talking about, you know, an open air market community. And I'm not going to say what the market is, but there's an open air market there. So there's no way that somebody didn't see something. Even if they don't think it was connected to her. I mean, this is a mother of two children that was ripped away from my grandchildren, you know, the way we feel right up under our noses.
All of these years later, Valencia still has hope that someone in the community will come forward and provide some information that will lead them to Unique.
In this situation and in the area where Unique was taken from her apartment, these communities of individuals are not so forthcoming with the police as they will be with me. And that's why I said the first 24 hours within Unique being unaccounted for or me being notified that she was unaccounted for, me and my family were, you know, out in her neighborhood passing out our own printed flyers and so forth and so on. So I like for those people that don't want to have a conversation with the police. And then not only that, me as her mom, I'm pretty good at filtering out because Unique's case has a $25,000 reward on it. I'm pretty good at filtering out some individuals, you know, as horrible as it may seem. They'll throw you false tips just for the money. And I'm pretty good. I'm probably the best navigator as far as filtering out those type of extortionists. As a matter of fact, I had another extortion attempt last night from people trying to extort thousands and hundreds of dollars out of me, saying that they're holding my daughter somewhere and all this sort of just madness. So my direct phone number for tips is 202-664-3173.
Through the efforts of Unique's family, they've identified some people who may have come into contact with Unique before her disappearance.
And me and my family talking to people in her neighborhood and as well as a couple of people that we came to realize in our own full-blown investigation before I think it was being taken as seriously as it is now, we had attained approximately 3 to 4 people in our net of people that we could say, you know, prior or just prior to Unique being taken, she had some type of interaction with. And those people, to my knowledge, are still in her file as being, you know, trying to be investigated. Because, you know, things take time.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems, whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. One thing that I've spent a lot of time thinking about is the effect that all of this must have had on Unique's sons. Imagine how hard it must have been for them to lose their mother at such a young age and have no answers.
From my standpoint as their grandmother and the mother of their mother, and my interaction and engagements with them as they are, they're, you know, some pretty strong little boys. They have managed to try to continue to persevere academically wise, as well as just, you know, what normal young men their age can perform, especially with such a detrimental thing being just pretty much forced on them. You know, I'm pretty sure people can understand that they have a certain at this juncture, because at this point, Unique's youngest son is 11. He'll be 12 in June, and her oldest son is 13. He just turned 13 in December. And I think it's fair for me to say that under the circumstances, they are doing a dynamic job at their position and place as their mother's legacy at this point, with her being unaccounted for thus far. Very proud of them. You know, I could tell, and I'm pretty sure anybody can understand and imagine, you know, it's not 100% for them every day, all day, but I think pretty much they do the best that they can in the situation that they were forced into, in this very, very brutal mental situation that they've been put in. What do you say to a 3- and a 4-year-old whose mother is there one night when they go to bed, and then the next minute they wake up and she's gone and they've never seen or heard from her again in over 7 years? I mean, you know, me, even at my age where I am now, I still have both my parents. I cannot imagine the inner turmoil, just to say the least, that they go through without having their mother there to talk to touch, grow with, and be able to engage with and plug into every day of these last 7, almost 8 years, which is definitely my primary driving force, other than the mission that I feel like, you know, from God, why I'm in this position.
Currently, Valencia is trying to raise money to hire a private investigator. Maybe a PI would be able to get some answers out of those who are hesitant to speak to police.
I have set up accounts to try to hire a private investigator, because I definitely would prefer for the DC Police Department to have some other outside objective assistance in Unique's case. And I have started a GoFundMe account, the Find Unique Harris, that people can go and make donations and things. All this time to this point, over 7 years in, it's just been primarily myself and, you know, a team that I have put in place. It includes family members and some of Unique's social media followers and supporters and donors and partners.
Valencia told me what she's continuing to do today to keep fighting for answers.
At this juncture, I'm still, you know, pressing forward, and I will continue to press forward to find Unique, because I do so very deeply appreciate all of her prayer warriors and followers and, you know, her team, pretty much try to communicate and engage with Unique's followers at least every day to show my appreciation for, you know, her following, because I'm pretty sure now at this point you've seen, all you have to do is Google Unique Harris's name and you can get quite a bit of information, and that comes from Unique's loyal followers and supporters that share her information. I can't stress enough how important it is for people to share these stories, because prior to this situation, I could sympathize when I saw a story here, you know, or there, but now I'm in a total mindset and heart set of empathizing. A lot of people don't understand the difference, and you can sympathize with Unique's situation all day long, but when you empathize, that's when you actively do something to try to make a change. And not just Unique's situation, but all of these cases.
While I was researching Unique's case, I was really impressed with how successful Valencia has been at getting media attention. She's willing to speak to any media outlet, big or small, with the hope of reaching that one person in the audience with the key to solving her case.
That's what it took for me to even get to this point in Unique's case, is constantly sharing her story, sharing interviews and things that me and my family have done for her and so forth and so on, because I'm sure you can imagine over the last 7 years, we've seen so many arenas and openings that God has opened up for us to be able to share Unique's story. And I thank God for, you know, like I said, you, your podcast, and, you know, people that don't just see something, they say something and they share something and they push it forward and they try to help in any way that they can. Those people are, you know, priceless. They really are.
So what happened to Unique Harris after she put her sons and young cousin to bed on October 9th, 2010? We know she spoke to someone on the phone around 3 a.m. on the 10th, but we also know that the police are withholding that information. We know that she spoke to someone on the phone around 3 a.m. on the 10th, but we also know that the police are withholding the identity of that caller. It's interesting to me that that information is being withheld. Do they think that person could be involved, or is it possible that Unique told that caller something that is a key piece of evidence in the case? When we look at cases like Unique's, it's natural to wonder if the person was involved in any high-risk behavior that could have put them in danger. But Valencia told me that wasn't like Unique, and there hasn't been any evidence discovered that would support that idea.
There's no drug activity. My daughter doesn't use drugs. My daughter doesn't even drink alcohol. If Unique drank any alcohol, it was very, very limited because she didn't like it. She didn't do any drugs. She didn't smoke cigarettes. You know what I mean? So those are the types of things that originally in the beginning I thought actually would narrow down.
Going back to Unique's glasses and purse being left behind, I believe that pretty much rules out the idea that she could have left to run an errand. And we also know that it wasn't like her to leave children behind. Valencia even believes that it would have been unlikely for Unique to have gotten up to answer the door without putting on her glasses. Did someone enter her apartment and surprise her while she was sleeping? Could it have been someone in the neighborhood who knew she was living alone with young children? Was she targeted by someone she knew, or was it a stranger? Unique had only been living there for 5 weeks. Is it possible that someone was targeting a previous tenant? And why are her keys missing? I won't pretend that I know the answers to this mystery. There are just too many questions. How does someone just disappear in a busy area with no clues or eyewitnesses? What do you think happened to Unique? If you have any information about the disappearance of Unique Harris, you can contact Valencia at 202-664-3173. And I will include her email address in the show notes. You can send tips anonymously to the DC police by texting 50411, or you can call 202-727-9099. At the time of Unique's disappearance, she was described as 5'7" tall, weighing between 123 and 130 pounds, with short brown hair and brown eyes. That brings us to the end of episode 116. I'd like to thank Valencia for taking the time to speak with me. If you'd like to follow Unique's case on social media, there are two Facebook groups. One is called Awaiting Unique Safe Return, and the second is called Unique Raquel Leona Harris Come Home Now. If you'd like to reach me, I'm on Facebook where there's a page and a discussion group for the show. I'm on Twitter at The Vanished Pod and on Instagram as well. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. Join me next week. I'll be covering a case from Washington State. Thanks for listening.
It's been a lot of things that have, you know, transpired over the last seven, almost 8 years, but I just, you know, I'm very appreciative of people such as yourself, you know, bringing these things to the forefront and putting them out there. Like I said, you know, it's one thing to see or hear about a story and, oh, I'm so sorry about that, but it's a totally horse of a different color to actually act on that and share that information at the very least. You know, I find on social media, people share some of the most, in my mind, just ineffective, inappropriate, and just, you know, totally nobody wants to hear or see things when these things are sliding right up under people's radar. The very least that any of us can do is share the information. And that's why, you know, at this juncture, I do a lot of sharing of other stories that, you know, I've come in contact with through this situation. Because, you know, that's what we're supposed to do as human beings, is help one another. And you can't help somebody sitting on the sideline just, you know, just sitting there. You have to be actively engaged. And I don't think a lot of people understand how important their sharing these stories and engagement actually is.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients, popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.